Our pericope of scripture this evening is the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter. I am departing from the series on the antithesis this evening so that we can look at, after celebrating Christ's resurrection last Sunday, now we can look at the resurrection of the saints. Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and a seal put on him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My text are the verses 4 through 6. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of his Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Let us pray a blessing upon the preaching of God's infallible word. O Father in heaven, we thank thee for giving this vision to the Apostle John. A vision that could comfort the persecuted saints in his day. Written down so that it continues to comfort thy saints in every age as we expectantly wait for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in glory. Bless, we pray, him who brings the word, overrule his sin and weakness, that his mouth may be used as an instrument to bring Christ's word to us, his saints. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the theme of the book of Revelation is the victory of Christ and his church over all opposition. Every enemy. In Revelation chapter 12, there are 5 characters that arise in opposition to Christ and his church. They are the dragon, they are the beast out of the sea, it is the beast out of the earth, fourthly it is Babylon, and fifthly it is the people that have the mark of the beast. And the following chapters after Revelation 12 show what happened to each one of those anti-Christian forces. The conflict between church and world is but the outward manifestation of the war between Christ and Satan, the dragon. And so Revelation 20 reveals to us what takes place on earth. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. The 1,000 years, not a literal 1,000 years, but rather the number 10, which is perfection, completeness, multiplied by 10, multiplied again by 10. So a figurative number, a complete time in God's plans in heaven. Bound for 1,000 years, not able to marshal the nations during that time against the church. And then he is going to be loosed for a little while. In other words, Satan's power is curbed. Like you might take a vicious dog. I had members in Cornerstone that knew by experience that a vicious dog left loose can tear skin apart and bring terrible pain. But even a dog on a chain can be dangerous if you're within that chain's length. And so the boys and girls know that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking to devour. He's still working in this world, but he is on a chain. He cannot take and force the nations now against the church. But the great tribulation is coming. And God's church has to go through that tribulation. But it will end then by Christ Jesus destroying the Antichrist and all the wicked. Revelation 20, verse 10, there's finally no single enemy left for the church. We indeed are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us, aren't we? Not only do we triumph over the enemy, but also we live and we will reign with Christ Jesus. More than conquerors. So in those first three verses, we have a picture of what takes place on earth. The devil bound for a while. And now in verses 4-6, we have a scene from heaven. The reign of the saints. What a glorious picture we have in these verses. Reigning with Christ. Notice with me, where does it take place? What is its character? And thirdly, who participate in it? Where does it take place? The 1,000 years of Revelation 20 have a glorious meaning for God's people here on earth. As I said, the dragon is chained, and so the church flourishes. The gospel goes forth to the four corners of the world. Many hear that gospel. And they believe. A multitude believe. The church becomes international. Powerful. As a hymn puts it, like a mighty army moves the church of God. The glories of heaven during that period far transcend all that pertains to the earth. For on earth there will be many also who hear the gospel, but will not heed it. Revelation 20 verses 4-6. Describes the condition of the victorious saints in heaven. You see, the personal reign of Christ Jesus is and is from heaven. It has a connection with the souls of the departed saints. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His own power. Don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? The connection between Christ's resurrection and our resurrection. In Revelation 3, verse 21, Jesus says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even also as I overcame and am set down on my Father in heaven's throne. What a promise. What a comfort. In order to understand that comfort, we need a proper conception of Revelation 20, verses 4-6, the reign of the saints. And so we go back to the first century when God gave this vision to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos. There was persecution. Persecution, first of all, from the Jews, and then second of all, from the Roman government. John the Baptist, put into prison for his declaring the will of God to Herod, calling him out for his sin, and he is beheaded. That wasn't the victory that John was looking for once Jesus Christ came. Behold, the Lamb of God. And so finally he sends some of his disciples to Jesus. Art thou the one that we are looking for, or is there still another? Think of Stephen. For his witness of Jesus Christ, he is stoned. Think of the apostle, or think of James, the brother of Jesus, put into prison because Herod wants to please the Jews, and then put to death. The apostle Paul, imprisoned once and then again. And of all the apostles with him, suffering martyrdom, except for the apostle John, who was banished to the island of Patmos. And why? Rather than saying that the emperor is Lord, or rather than dropping incense on the altar of pagan priests, these believers confessed Christ in the midst of flames or in the midst of wild animals and beasts in the Roman amphitheaters. But Christ is not unmindful of his grievously and afflicted disciples. He sustains them by his grace so that they may remain faithful to the end. And therefore, given to the sorely tried church is this vision of the saints, of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Described are these souls. Together with all departed Christians who had confessed their Lord upon earth, they reign with Jesus in heaven. Where are these thrones? For we read, didn't we, in the passage, and I saw thrones and they sat upon them. In the entire book of Revelation, the throne of Christ and his people is heaven. We read in Revelation 4, verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Where is this going to take place? Where the disembodied souls of the martyrs are. For we read, and I quote, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. John, in this vision, sees souls, not bodies. In Scripture, sometimes that word soul can stand for persons, but there's always attached to it a numeral. For example, there was in the ark, we read, few, that is, eight souls. Or we read of the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, they were 70. Or again, at Pentecost, we read that on that day, about 3,000 souls were added to the church. Or one more example of how the number goes with the souls, it refers to persons. When Paul was on that ship going to Rome, we read that there were in all 216 souls. But here now in Revelation 20, verse 4, we simply read, and I saw the souls. There's a second objection to referring these souls to being persons in their body, for we read, don't we, of them that were beheaded. That's not referring to persons in this present dispensation, in their body. Beheaded, they had been killed. These souls reign during that entire present dispensation. They will reign there until Christ's second coming. Boys and girls, that's called the intermediate state. When the soul is separated from the body by death. Whether it be the souls of believers in heaven or the souls of the wicked in hell. But their bodies will be raised and will be joined with their souls. These souls in heaven are the souls of saints that reign not for a limited time, though lengthy, 1,000 years, but we read in Revelation 22, verse 5, they will reign forever and ever. What a reward. Where? Where Jesus lives. For we read here in our passage, they lived and they reigned with Christ. Oh, beloved, that is our great expectation, isn't it? That when we die, our souls go to be with Jesus. It's not the old earthly relationships that continue. They are not our expectation. Those relationships cease. Just as the relationship between Jesus and his mother ceased when he died and John was given to take care of his mother. The relationship, the great hope to be with Jesus, to see him face to face, for he is there bodily. So the question, reigning with Christ, where does it take place? Where is the place where the exalted mediator rules the universe? Where does Jesus live now? Clearly in heaven. It is in heaven that the Lamb is represented as taking the scroll from the hand of him that sat upon the throne, Revelation 5. And Revelation 12 clearly states that Christ was caught up to God and to his throne. So this 1,000-year reign of the saints is in heaven. That's the first point. Second point, what is the character of the reign of those saints with Christ Jesus? These blessed and glorified souls reign with Christ. On earth they suffered. They had to endure that suffering for Christ's sake. On earth, it was given them grace to have the testimony of Jesus. And it was grace given to them that they had the Word of God in their hearts and on their lips. One cannot remain silent when they know Christ Jesus by heart. And they will speak of Him. We read in Philippians 1, verse 29, it was given to them also in the cause of Christ, not only to believe on Christ, but also to suffer with him. Boys and girls, I mentioned Stephen. His testimony of Jesus was on his lips. Many believed through his ministry. And there he was stoned to death for that testimony. Do you remember Paul and Silas? When they came bringing the gospel there to Philippi, and they healed a young lady from her demon, the owners were angry. And they were beat, and they were put into prison, shackled their hands and feet. Were they disappointed? Were they angry at God? Is this what we get for testifying to Jesus Christ? No, we hear that during the middle of the night, they are singing psalms to God, that they are counted worthy to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. In this wicked world, unchristian world, we live and will suffer. because we have this testimony of Jesus Christ and the word of the gospel in our hearts and on our lips. Because we will always refuse to worship the beast and his image, just like Daniel's three friends, when they would not bow down to that image that Nebuchadnezzar built of gold and silver and bronze and iron and clay feet. They were thrown into that fiery furnace. And boys and girls, you'll remember that all of a sudden Nebuchadnezzar saw four in the furnace, one like the Son of God. Our Lord Jesus was with them, persecuted because of their faith in God. We will refuse that beast sign on our right hand or on our forehead. And so it is the entire church, triumphant in heaven, that is meant by these reigning saints. There's persecution going on in many countries today. Muslim nations where you may not witness to your neighbor. In China, communist nation that doesn't want the church to flourish, puts laws on them, takes Bibles out of their hands. Reverend Titus in Myanmar, the saints there experiencing persecution so that they might have to leave their place closer to the border. Persecution now that's only going to increase, and especially through the tribulation. And saints are going to go through that tribulation. They need to be warned. Yes, there are terrible times. There's a cost to following Jesus. But there is also a wonderful reward for following Jesus Christ. They reign and they will judge the world with Christ Jesus. Now in glory with Christ, they are free from all the suffering and pain and persecution of being in this world. It's a reign that began in heaven when Christ Jesus arose from the dead and ascended into heaven and was given all power on heaven and on earth. Seated at the right hand of God, what we call his session at the right hand. Reigning with the Lord in glory is a common idea in Scripture, isn't it? I think of Revelation chapter 2. Where we read in verses 26 and 27, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, reigning with Christ Jesus." It is basically the reign of Christ himself, to whom is given all power in heaven and earth, a name above all names, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Suffering in the cause of Christ, we nevertheless will have victory and overcome and will judge the earth. By faith in Christ Jesus, we will participate in his glorious reign in heaven. Delivered from completely from all the power of the enemy, then we'll be with Christ forever and ever. Five things. Reigning with Christ. We'll know his works with regard to the final realization of the kingdom of God, even as Christ knows his Father's counsel. And he was found worthy to open up the scroll with its seven seals. Second of all, the saints will perfectly know the mind of Christ. There's going to be no secrets from him. The beautiful passage from Psalm 25, verse 14, The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. The covenant. Thirdly, the saints are going to concur in His judgments of the world and will partake somehow in them. What kind of judgments? The tornadoes, the hurricanes, drought and flood, earthquakes, nations tumbling down and other nations rising. That is one of the signs in society that we know that Jesus is coming, as other pastors would have called it. We can hear the steps of Jesus as He's coming. Coming in wrath and judgment against this wicked world, but coming also for His saints to take them home. Fourthly, rejoicing in the full realization of Christ's perfect victory. We look around with these eyes and it looks like the wicked are gaining ground all the time. More and more disgusting and wicked things taking place now out in the open than before were done only in secret. But the saints in heaven see how Christ is ruling all these events, giving the wicked over to their wickedness, filling up the cup of iniquity. Christ has the victory. And fifthly, finally, this reign of Christ with respect to the world. The dragon is bound for a while, not able to deceive these nations and gather them against the church until that last little time in the tribulation. Let loose Gog and Magog, attack the church. It is difficult for the poor saints on earth. How they long, how each one of us every day should be longing. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Those souls in heaven praise Christ for His righteous judgments, constantly saying, true and righteous are His judgments. They sit with Him on the throne. They stand with Him on Mount Zion, and they sing before His throne, the church triumphant. What is the character of this reign of the saints with Christ Jesus? It is, second of all, a living with Christ. For we read in our passage, they did live and did reign with Christ. How? We read in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great number, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. What a beautiful song. Living with Christ Jesus, praising Christ Jesus. Beautiful fellowship with God. That's the covenant, isn't it, beloved? That's the covenant. The covenant of grace that we so love. That is the covenant that distinguishes our churches from most Reformed churches. For in most Reformed churches, when they talk about the covenant, it is a means for them in order to be saved. It's a conditional covenant. God does something and then you have to do something, and if you don't, you fall out of the covenant. So for most Reformed churches, the covenant is a means, a tool, an instrument in order to be saved, rather than the final end, the glory. We are saved in order that we may enjoy the covenant. Enjoy it now by faith, having beautiful dialogue with our God. Think of our worship services. Look at how it's organized. Back and forth like a lover, a young man and a young lady whispering to each other. The Lord coming with His word to us, and we respond by singing His word back to Him. He comes with His word to us and we give our offerings. He comes with His word and we lift up our prayers to Him. Beautiful dialogue now by faith, but oh, it's going to be different. Better in heaven. Seeing Him face to face. For Jesus has His body in heaven there. We will see Him. Living with Him. Enjoying Him. Just as the disciples enjoyed the 3 years that they lived with Christ here on earth as His disciples. But infinitely better. There were so many things that they did not understand about Jesus and about His program and about His kingdom. We shall know, for He'll make it very known to us now by His word than by sight. Dialogue. Living with Christ. Thirdly, it's a day of sharing the royal glory with Christ. The souls of the saints celebrate the Lamb's and therefore their own victory with Him. All their prayers are answered because they're perfect prayers. Our prayers are answered too, not sometimes the way we would like. For we don't know the mind of God. That's why we always add, if it be thy will. Help this little child that is in the hospital. Make him better. Make his heart stronger. If it be thy will. Comfort that saint whose loved one has been taken away. Always praying according to His will. But then, perfect prayers. And answered prayers. Think of those saints in the Old Testament who kept on praying underneath a throne. How long, Lord? How long? Answer. Jesus says, I'm coming. I'm coming again soon. And I'll make all things new. As Christ is loved by God the Father, you and I loved as God's adopted children. Loved as Christ, brothers and sisters. Loved as those who have been forgiven and have been delivered from all their sin and guilt, wearing white robes. Oh, these saints in heaven are a royal people. Judgment is given to them. To judge is a function of royalty, isn't it? It implies the authority to rule. We heard that this morning. What is the kingdom? It is a realm where a king rules. You and I will rule with Christ Jesus in glory. What is the character of this reign of the saints? We read in the passage, it is the first resurrection. The first resurrection means there's going to be a second resurrection. What does it mean? Scripture quite often speaks of the resurrection of the dead in more than one sense. Often it speaks about regeneration. Let me give you two different passages. John 5, verse 25, we read, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Regeneration. When Christ's voice came, think a moment of the thief on the cross. He had been taunting Jesus just as the other thief. But he heard the voice of Jesus. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He saw something there by faith. And he clings to it. Remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. Today, Jesus says, today. The dead hear the voice of God. You and I who are dead spiritually. Regeneration. Again, Ephesians 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That is regeneration. You and I who are dead in sin, in darkness, given the light. However, while in those passages the resurrection does refer to regeneration, here in Revelation 20, verse 5, the first resurrection refers to the saints in glory immediately after death. They are delivered from the battle and from persecution, from suffering inflicted on them. It refers to the soul that is separated from the body and instantly purified, perfected without any sin, enters into heaven. Heaven cannot have sin in it. The soul going up is instantly perfected. For body and soul, we are sinners, aren't we? Body and soul have to be released from that kind of sin. In the first resurrection, the soul is purified and goes into heaven. So this first resurrection does not mean some kind of separate group of saints raised at one point and others from the raised at a later time, maybe the wicked. But rather, it refers to a state or a degree in the resurrection of the saints. If that's correct, one can make a comparison with a similar expression in our text, the second death. The second death refers to the ultimate state of death in hell. Revelation 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So there is a first and a second death in Scripture. Different stages. The first death was on all mankind when Adam and Eve fell into sin and rebelled against God. The wages of sin is death, isn't it? Oh, the wicked also will be raised from the grave, but they are not raised to life. But they are raised so that then body and soul, they will experience the wrath of God eternally in hell. God's people are raised to life and regeneration, but still in this flesh of sin, this old man of sin in us, body and soul. And we have to deal with it all of our lives, don't we? Doesn't it make you tear up at times when you think of what you've said or what you've done, or the heart, desperately evil at times? But at physical death, the soul is released and is purified. No more temptations, no more sin, no more battle against sin within or from without. For on earth, the church is the church militant, isn't it? Now, beautiful, sinless souls, never having to fear the second death. But the scripture says, robed in white robes, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the second resurrection is when the bodies of believers are rejoined with their souls, and those bodies also perfected, unable to be tempted or to fall. There we have, beloved, a greater blessing than the original creation. Because in the original creation, God made man good and in his image, but also fallible. They could choose to rebel and to sin. But there in heaven, with a second resurrection, no longer, in that new heavens and that new earth, body and soul perfect, immortal, infallible, dwelling with Christ in that new heavens, that new earth that are connected. What a day that will be. No sin, no devil, no sickness, no pain, no suffering, no more death. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, death has lost its sting, and the grave has lost its victory. Come, Lord Jesus. Is that your prayer? Heads of the home, are you with your children praying for that coming of Jesus Christ? Do you hear your pastor praying for that? I think I heard it this morning. Come, Lord Jesus. That brings me quickly to my third point, who participate in this reign with Christ Jesus. And it's really very simple and easy. It is the souls of all the martyrs, those who bore testimony to God and to His Christ, in whom the Word of God was on their heart and on their lips. Who? Enoch. As he witnessed to that evil generation, we read in Jude, and he was not because God took him. Elijah, with the battle against wicked Ahab and Jezebel, having to flee for his life, given a victory and taken up to heaven in that chariot in a whirlwind. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve who sinned against God, and God found them in the garden and gave them the promise of the seed of the woman who would crush the head of Satan. Who? Abel. Abel, when he testified to his evil brother Cain, Cain slew him and his blood cried out. All the Old Testament saints whose souls were pictured underneath the throne of God crying out, "How long, Lord, how long?" All the saints of the New Testament, the new dispensation, all those saints until Jesus Christ comes again. All believers except a few who die in faith. What a great expectation. That means you and I won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed when your soul goes up into heaven, and later on when your body also is raised and you're there in the new heavens and the new earth. You will not be disappointed. Beautiful fellowship with God in a beautiful world, where there is no pain or sorrow or suffering or sin. All believers who die in faith, that is their expectation. Over them, we read in God's Word, the second death has no power because they have eternal life. You and I have eternal life now. It's not something we're going to get. We have it now. Life in Christ Jesus by faith, not ending with death, but our soul goes to Christ in heaven, and one day our bodies also raise. Yes, these saints who testify for Christ Jesus are blessed and holy now and then forever. Is that you, my friend? Is this your comfort? You who've had a spouse taken away from you, the comfort that they are now with Christ Jesus, and you will be there too. Your comfort if a child of yours was taken in death with Christ Jesus. We will live and reign with Him forever and ever. There's a beautiful hymn. Let me quote that first stanza of that hymn. By the sea of crystal, saints in glory stand, myriads in number drawn from every land, robed in white apparel, washed in Jesus' blood, they now reign in heaven with the Lamb of God. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for comforting Thy saints in that first century and the centuries afterward, going through persecution for Christ's sake. We thank Thee that this is Thy Word, which is infallible, inspired. It is the Word of God to us also tonight. so much sickness, so much suffering, so many countries, active persecution. And it's not going to get better. But what an expectation is given to us. We're counted worthy to suffer with Christ and then to reign with Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.